Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Today we are beginning a brand new message series entitled, His Promise, My Part. His Promise, My Part. Now, let me just give you a quick little rundown of like where this came out and kind of what is the purpose of this series. This series is really to put us in position and to get us ready for 2022. Okay, the last 20 months have been a challenging 20 months, right? We have come out of a pandemic, so much change, so much uncertainty, so many things are going on. And this is what I was feeling like somewhere along the way, right? We've just kind of lost this this vision for what can be. We've kind of lost a little bit of that ability to envision, okay, what does God have? Because we've been looking left, we've been looking right, we've been getting these reports and these news and all these things that are going on. And these next few weeks that we're going to spend together, you could say it's a vision series, but more importantly, it's an envision series. Because I want you to begin to envision what is possible for you in your 2022. I want us as a community to begin to envision through the eyes of faith, through God vision, what we can do, what we can accomplish, what we can make happen right here through God's strength and His power in 2022. And so, as Christ followers, it's really important that we understand God has promises for us. As His followers, as His children, God has promises for each and every one of us. And so as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at the story of Joshua. Okay, as we talk about these promises, we're going to be looking at the story of Joshua, and we're going to be talking about this promised land, okay? That God had promised His people that this land of Canaan, this land that would flow with milk and honey, it was a promised place. And so we're going to go through the story of Joshua, and we're going to read about how Joshua takes God's people into the promised land. But I want to tie something with that, and that is how the story of Joshua led people into a promised land, but the story of Jesus is leading you into a promised life. And the story of Joshua led people into a promised land, but the story of Jesus is that He wants to lead you into a promised life. There is a life that He promised you, and it's found in John chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus said this, He says, I came so that everyone would have life and have it in its fullness. I came that everyone would have life. Now, wait a minute. He was talking to people who were alive. So obviously Jesus isn't just simply referring to our existence on this planet. No, He's talking about something more. He's talking about something greater. He's not just talking about existing. He's talking about flourishing. He's not talking about just surviving in this life. He's talking about thriving in this life. And actually the Greek word that Jesus uses here, in John 10:10, where He says, I have come that you might have life. That word is actually zoe. And it literally means all of life. It is the spiritual and the physical. It is the present and the future. It is spirit, soul, and it is body. And Jesus said, I came that you would have this life, this zoe life, and that life would be to the full, that your spirit, your soul, and your body would flourish. I love it the way it's in the Passion Translation. This is what it says. But I have come to give you everything in abundance. Say abundance. More than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. See, Jesus came to give us this life, this abundant life. And listen, it's a promise. And because it's a promise from Jesus, guess what that means? It means we can have it. It means we can have it. Come on, you need to turn to your neighbor right now and say, we can have it. Come on, now you need to turn to your other neighbor, the one who you just rejected, and let them look at them and say, tell them you can have it. Come on, we need to understand that we can have this. This life is not just for the missionaries in the Amazon jungle. This life is just not for the pastors to the unreached people groups. This life, that Jesus promised was for everyone who would call upon his name. It's a promise. We can have it. But there's always a part that we play in possessing his promises. It's promised. You can have it. But there is a part that we play in possessing that promise. And that's what we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks, that God really does have a plan. He really does have a purpose. He really does have great and precious promises for you, for your family, and for our community right here in Bossier City, Louisiana. But guess what? We play a part. And in that part, we're going to talk about attitude, and we're going to talk about action steps, and we're going to talk about our assurance, this confidence that we have. We're going to talk about how we deal with adversity. We're going to talk about all of these things that we play, the part that we play in possessing the promise that God has for us. And I just believe that these next 6 weeks that we spend together, I believe it's going to jumpstart you. I believe it's going to jumpstart you and your family. I believe it's going to jumpstart you and your businesses. I believe it's going to jumpstart. I believe it's going to be like an electric shock to your spirit and your soul, where we have in some ways just kind of gotten numb to some things in life. I just believe in these next few weeks, eyes are going to be open. Things are going to come back to life again. And we are going to begin to believe God to do the impossible, that he is the God who makes the impossible possible in our lives. Let's go to 2 Peter before we get into the story of Joshua. And I wanted just to kind of use this to set the foundation of where we're going to be going today. And Peter writes this. Peter was a disciple of Jesus, and he writes these words in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." Say everything. Okay. By his divine power, God has given, now let's make it specific, God has given you everything you need for living a godly life. By his divine power, you have access to everything you need to overcome and to conquer every addiction, every false belief, everything that's holding you back. By his divine power, you have access to everything you need to live the life God created you to live. And it says, we have received all of this. Watch this. We have received this access, not because we signed up to be missionaries, not because we decided to become pastors, not because we graduated from seminary, not because we have devoted 40 years of our life to prayer and studying of the word. No, no, no. Where do you receive this ability, this everything? Oh, you receive that just by coming to know him. When you came into relationship with him, you gained access to everything that you would ever need to live the life he created you to live. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. There it is. God has given you great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. So God has given you promises for what? Promises that you don't have to live like the world lives. Promises that you can conquer. Promises that you can overcome. Promises that your heart can be mended. Promises that your hope can be restored. Promises that you don't have to live like everybody else has always lived in your family or the friends around you. No, you can be different. And these are the promises that God has given us that enable us to do this. We can't do it on our own. But because of these promises, they have enabled us, given us access, given us access into this promised life, if you would. And then in verse 5, it says this, in view of all of this, because of these great and precious promises, because of the access that you have been granted, because he is there to enable you to share in his divine nature, he says, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. God has given you great and precious promises. But Peter writes and says, but those promises, they demand a response. Those promises demand a response of effort. And he goes on and he says, here, what you have to do is you have to supplement your faith, and you've got to supplement that faith with moral excellence and with love. And you got to supplement that faith with knowledge and with patience. And he goes on and he starts talking about the things that we have to do, the effort that we have to put forth in order to live out these precious promises, because God's promises demand a response. Now, today we're going to pick up a storyline in the Bible, and I'm just going to give you a brief little recap of kind of where we are, and that is the fact that God's people, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, God's chosen people on the earth at this time in the Old Testament, they have been enslaved in Egypt for nearly 400 years. And after 400 years of slavery, they begin to cry out to God, and God begins to speak to this man by the name of Moses, and God sends Moses back into Egypt. And he says, Moses, I want you to go, and I want you to be a part of releasing my people from bondage and taking them into the place of abundance. And this is actually what God says to Moses in Exodus chapter 6. He says, therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will free you from your oppression, and I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. And I will bring you into a land, there it is, the land. I will bring you into the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are their forefathers, their ancestors. The guy, Abraham is the guy who God made the original promise with, that he would take him to this land that would flow with milk and honey, that he would bless him. He says, I will bring you into that land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. Well, this is what Moses comes back and he tells his people, basically, hey, God heard your cry. You're miserable. You're desperate. You've cried to God. God has heard your cry. And I'm here to tell you that God is about to release you from your oppression, and he's about to take you into the place of abundance. And it's really an awesome journey. You can read it in the book of Exodus as Moses goes to Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, and through a series of events, he finally agrees to let God's people go. And after he lets them go, after a while after that, he changes his mind, and he gets the Egyptian army together, and they start trying to chase down the Israelites. And the Israelites had come to, God's people had come to this place at the Red Sea, and they were trapped, and they needed to go forward. But now they turn around, and the Egyptian army is coming from behind. And there's this miracle moment where Moses, their leader, he lifts his staff above the water. God parts the water. The Israelites walk across on dry ground. The Egyptian army is chasing them down behind, and as soon as all of the Israelites get across the Red Sea, God lets the Red Sea come crashing back down on the Egyptian army. Every single soldier there dies, and they all see it happen right before their very eyes. It's a phenomenal story. And so now we come from them being released, and they've come through the Red Sea, and now they're on the doorstep of their destiny. They're right where God told them they would go. I mean, it's less than a two-week journey from where they were to the land of Canaan, the promised land where God was trying to take them. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that it was a lot longer than 2 weeks. Actually ended up taking them 40 years, and here's the reason why. Because as they're on the doorstep of their destiny, Moses decides to send some spies into the land to check it out, to check out the fruit, to check out what's there. Is it really everything that God said it would be? Is it really flowing with milk and honey? Is it really fertile and fruitful the way that God told us it was? And so they pick one leader from all 12 tribes that make up Israel, and they send one. And so there's 12 spies that go into the land. And the 12 spies go into the land, and now remember, they're going into the land to spy out a land that God had promised to give them. The God who promised to give them this land was the same God who just released them from oppression that they never thought they would get out from under. This is the same God that they saw with their very own eyes open up the Red Sea so they could walk across on dry ground. This was the same God that before their very eyes, without lifting a sword or throwing a stone, killed their enemy right before them. This same God has made them this promise. And we pick up the report, these spies, they spent 40 days in this land. They come back, and in Numbers 13, this was the report of the spies back to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Let me just give you a quick little summary of this story. How many of you, maybe in school, you appreciated the Cliff Notes? Okay, you appreciated the Cliff Notes. Let me just give you the Cliff Note version of this. Here's what we have. These 12 spies, they have a promise. They see a problem. They make a prediction. And then they speak a proclamation. They have a promise from God. They see a problem with their eyes. They make a prediction in their mind and heart, and then they speak a proclamation out of their mouth. And 10 of the 12, they come back with this proclamation: we can't. We can't go up against them because they are bigger and stronger than we are. But then there was Caleb and Joshua right there by his side. And now, let me remind you, they have the exact same promise from God. And they see the exact same problems with their eyes. But they have a different prediction. And they have a different proclamation. And Caleb speaks up and he says, let's go at once. We can conquer the land. Let's go. He's not even saying, let's gather the troops. Let's create a plan. Let's have a strategy session. He says, let's go right now because we can certainly conquer it. Now, just a little spoiler alert, okay? If you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen in the story? If you don't know the story, I'm going to spoil it for you right now. And that is that Caleb and Joshua are the only spies that would eventually get into the land. Now, 40 years, I've already told you, it's going to take 40 years. Instead of 14 days, it's going to take 40 years. But Caleb and Joshua are actually the only spies to get in the land. Not only that, they're actually the only people over 20 years old that came out of Egypt that are going to get into the land. Their whole generation dies because they believe the proclamation of we can't. They got into agreement and alignment with what they could not do. And there was Caleb and Joshua who were saying, we can. You see, what this story shows us is that there is a powerful connection between God's promises and your response. There's a powerful connection between God's promises and your response, between God's promises and your prediction and your proclamation. 10 of the spies said, we can't. And they didn't. Two spies said, we can, and they did. I don't know about you, but I want to live on the I can, we can side of life. I want to live on the I can and we can side of life. And see, whenever Caleb said, let's go at once, we can certainly conquer it. Please understand, this was not based upon their advanced fighting ability. This was not based upon some superior battle strategy that they had. No, instead, his proclamation was based on God's promises and upon God's power. So then it causes us to ask a question, right? Are you making your predictions and your proclamations based off of God's promises or based off of your problems? What is behind the steering wheel of your predictions? What is driving the proclamations that are coming out of your mouth? Is it the promises that God has made, or is it the problems that you see? Is your response based off of what he said or based off of what you saw? Where is your prediction? Where is your proclamation coming from? You know, Jack Canfield, he's the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. How many of you remember Chicken Soup for the Soul, right? Chicken Soup for the Soul. All the old people are raising their hands in the room right now, right? The young people are like, chicken soup for what? Oh, no, I mean, in Jack Canfield, he became like a mega billionaire, right? Because he had chicken soup for the soul for the veterans and the single moms and the graduate and everything. I mean, he had chicken soup. And no matter what your category, you could find multiple versions of chicken soup for the soul that he had written. And Jack Canfield had this success formula. And this success formula was simply this. It was E plus R equals O. And that stood for events plus responses equals outcomes. Success formula, that events plus responses equals outcomes. Let's just break it down right now as we look at the 12 spies. And these 12 spies go into the land, and come on, they have the same event. The same event happens. They see the same cities, the same people, the same challenges. They see the same problems. The event was the same, but they had a different response. Two of the 10 have a different response, and that different response created what? A different outcome. So we see the importance that our responses play in the outcomes that we have. Now, here was the thing about the event. The event was something that they could not control. They couldn't control if the enemy was 9 feet tall or 2 feet tall. They couldn't control that. They couldn't control how tall the walls were, how thick the walls were, how strong the gates were. They couldn't control how much the battle plans of their, they could not control the event. What they could control was what? The response. That's what they had control over. So many times what we want to do is to control or complain about what we can't control. And we let the event drive our outcome, and we skip right over the fact that, wait a minute, no, I have a response. I have a response to give in this moment, and I am always in control of my response. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes our events, they happen in the past. Come on, I mean, you can't change anything in the past. But your responses are always happening in the present. So you always have control over your response in the present. I love this quote from Stephen Covey. He wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He's a great author and speaker. And he said this: between stimulus and response, there is a space where we choose our response. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. And that space is the place where you get to choose your response. Now, let's just break this down for the story. The stimulus is what? Seeing the giants. The stimulus is what? Seeing the fortified cities. The stimulus is what? Realizing that their weapons are better than our weapons. Their stimulus was what? Seeing the magnitude of the challenge that was before them. That was the stimulus. You see, the response is your prediction. The response is your proclamation. The response is this: it's your choice. You get to choose your response to what you see. Because Caleb and Joshua's prediction and proclamation wasn't based off of what they saw. Instead, it was based off of what they believed. 10 people were responding off of what they saw, the event. Caleb and Joshua were responding off of what they believed. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we, people who follow after God, Christ followers, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Another translation says we live by faith and not by sight. See, Caleb and Joshua, they believed the promise. And that deep belief led to their expectant attitude, where he says, let's go up at once. Let's don't delay. Let's don't wait until next week. Let's go at once. Why? Because we can certainly conquer it right now. It was a deep belief in the promises of God. It was a deep belief in the power of God. It was a deep belief that God would do what he said he would do. And that deep belief began to bleed out into this expectant attitude. Now, whenever we talk about attitude, we define this a lot around here, but I want to give it to you one more time. And that is, attitude is defined as this: a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. It's typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Typically, not always, but typically, it's reflected in a person's behavior. But your attitude is, it's your settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. You see, your thoughts about what is possible in your life, your thoughts about what is possible in 2022, your thoughts about what is possible in your marriage, your thoughts about what is possible in the lives of your children, your thoughts about what is possible in your future, your thoughts about what is possible in your life has so much to do with your settled way of thinking and feeling about God and yourself. And what I am desiring to do in these next few weeks as we walk through this, I am desiring to be a gentle hand on your back saying, let's move closer to everything that God said you could be, and let's move closer to everything that God said you could have. Because so many times, the way that we think and feel about God, the way that we think and feel about ourselves, it creates a limitation for what we do in our future. Let's just look at the story. You have 10 spies who went into the land to see if they could conquer. Joshua and Caleb went into the land to see what they would conquer. It's a big difference when you're going to see, oh, I wonder if we can. Wait a minute, God already said it was ours. What am I trying to do to go figure out if I can when God said it's already, oh, it's yours? So they're going in to find out if they could conquer. But Joshua and Caleb, they're just going in to spy what they would conquer. They're just looking at the fruit. They're looking at the fertile ground. They're looking at everything saying, whoo, I don't know how God's going to do it, but isn't it going to be good when we're living here? I love what George MacDonald said. He was an author and a minister in the 1800s in Scotland. And he said this. He says, attitudes are more important than facts. Attitudes are more important than facts. And where do our attitudes come from? Our attitudes really come from what we believe. Our way of thinking and feeling about someone, whether it's God, yourself, your spouse, your kids, your parents, our settled way of feeling about something and someone, our ways of thinking and feeling, they literally come from what we believe. They come from our faith. Now, here's what we know in the story. The facts, now let's just be honest about the story. This is the benefit of reading the story like in reverse. Like most people in the room, like you kind of already have an idea of what's going to happen, right? God's people are going to go in, they're going to cancel the land, spoiler alert once again. They're going to go in and they're going to win the fight. And so we already kind of know, okay, I know it's going to happen. And so we read it through that lens, but you got to put yourself at the beginning of the story where you don't know the ending. You don't know what's about to happen. And here's the truth. The facts were not in their favor. They were better fighters. They had bigger and better cities. They had huge walls. They had gates. They had better weapons. They had all these things going for them. The facts were not in their favor. But they had the favor of God. The facts were not in their favor, but they had the favor that they needed. Because the favor that they needed was found in a promise of God that says, that land is your land. And if you will get in alignment and in agreement with what I said is possible, you can walk in and have everything that I desire for you to have. See, faith is simply an active choice to put our trust in the Lord. That's what faith is. It's an active choice. It's a choice that says, you have facts, and sometimes, you know, your facts will influence your feelings. Well, you got to know that when they saw the big, you know, the warrior, the giant, they saw it all. Like, they saw it all. They weren't like, oh, this is going to be so easy or whatever. You know, it's not like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, but here's what I'll tell you. The facts can give you some feelings, but faith supersedes the facts. And if faith supersedes the facts, then guess what? Faith supersedes your feelings as well. So they were standing there looking at what God was going to give them, going, I don't know how it's going to happen, but God said it's ours. Therefore, I'm going to get an agreement and alignment with the fact that it is going to be mine. And they allowed what they believed to create an expectant attitude. So whenever they stood before Moses, their leader, they said, hey, we don't have to create a plan. We don't need to get a committee together. We don't figure out how it's going. We just need to go right now because God is going to give it to us. It was an expectant attitude. And this is the beginning of how Caleb and Joshua were able to possess the promised land. It came from this expected attitude. And guess what? It's the way that Caleb and Joshua were able to possess the promised land. And it's the exact same way that you're able to possess the promised life. It starts in the same place. It starts with an expectant attitude that comes from what you believe. Jesus said, you could live a life that was full in every area. Full of peace, full of purpose, full of joy, full of contentment, full of influence and impact, full of power and strength, that you could live a life that was full, and not only full, but that life would be overflowing. Jesus said, it's the reason that I've come, that you might have Zoe, life in every area of life, past, present and future, spirit, soul, and body. It's what Jesus came to make possible. How do you get to the first step is always believing. You say, but Philly, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand where I am right now. You don't understand what I'm up against. Well, if it ain't 9-foot giants with big, long spears, I think you're doing okay, all right? They were up against a real situation. They were facing some real adversity. And if they met, guess what? It speaks to your situation. It says, you know what? If they made it through that, if they were able to conquer that, if they were able to have victory over that, if they were able to find a way to win, then guess what? I can find a way to win, and I can find a way to conquer, because the same God that was guiding them is the same God that's guiding me. And the same promise they had for that land is the same promise that I have for this life. And you start building this expectant attitude. You see, there's no, oh, let's see if we can live the abundant life. Let's see if we can do it. No. There's only, I can't wait to see what it's like to live the abundant life. It's not, let's give it a try and let's see what happens. It's, I can't wait to overflow with peace. I can't wait to overflow with joy. I can't wait to have a life that is full and that is overflowing, that is more than I ever expected. I can't wait for that. Let me give you one more scripture as we kind of wrap things up this morning. That is, what does an expectant attitude really look like? And I love this verse out of the Amplified Version, Philippians 4:13. It's a familiar scripture, but I love that what the Amplified kind of adds to it. And it says this, I can do all things. Come on, say that with me. I can do all things. I can do all things. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I can do all things. I can do all things. Come on, say it one more time. I can do all things. Come on, we got to start getting that attitude. I can do all things. Go ahead. Hey, go ahead. Somebody got the message already. We just put an amen on it. Somebody's already got the victory. That's what I'm talking about. It says, I can do all things which he has called me to do. Through him who strengthens and empowers me. I'm not coming up with my own strength. I'm not coming on and manufacturing my own power. No. He called me, and he's strengthening me, and he's empowering me to do what? To fulfill his purpose. Watch this. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am self-sufficient. I'm good enough because he's good enough. I'm strong enough because he's strong enough. I'm talented enough because he's talented. I am self-sufficient in his sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything. Hey, come on, man. I am ready for anything. For the giants, for the fortified cities. I'm ready. I'm ready for my fears. I'm ready for my doubts. I'm ready for my pain, my shame, my regret. I'm ready for all of them to show back up. You know why? Because I am equal to anything. Ain't nothing stronger than me. Ain't nothing bigger than me. Ain't nothing badder than me. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in me. I'm ready for anything. I'm equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I can do all things. I can do it. He has called me to it. And when he said I could live an abundant life, Jesus wasn't talking to the person sitting on your right, and he wasn't just talking to the person sitting on your left. He was talking to you. It's what he has for you. It's his promise for your life. This is what you can live. Now remember, whenever we started 2 Peter, we were building that foundation. The promises of God, they demand a response. The promises of God, they demand that response. That response demands effort. And that response and that effort, it begins with an expectant attitude. Pat Riley, the great NBA coach, is what he said. He said, great effort springs naturally from a great attitude. See, Caleb and Joshua, they didn't go into the land and get a good attitude. They went into the land with a good attitude. When they spied it out, they were already looking through the eyes of faith. They carried that settled way of thinking and feeling about God, about his promises, about his word, about their future. They carried that in there with them. So therefore, great effort, a great response comes from a great attitude. And they say, Moses, let's go right now. Oh, I know the odds aren't in our favor. Everything they're saying is true. There's giants there. They got better weapons. They got stronger facilities. Oh, yeah. All of that is true. But let's go right now, because a great attitude will always move you into a great response. Because when you believe you can do all things, you'll find yourself beginning to do those things. When you believe you can conquer, you'll begin to put forth the effort to conquer. My expectant attitude puts me in position to move forward. I want to give you this last thought before we move into our lead. And that is, I want you to write this down, or maybe you take a picture of it. We're going to put it up on the screen behind us, but God's promises make things possible. You make God's promises unstoppable. God's promises make things possible that you could never make possible on your own. You could never do it on your own. And God gave you a promise. He gave you a promise that you could live an abundant life. He gave you a promise that your life could overflow. He gave you a promise that you could live with supernatural peace and supernatural joy. He gave you a promise that you could live with divine strength and divine power. He gave you a promise that you have everything you already need to live a godly life, the life that he created you to live. He's already given you these great and precious promises. Jesus made it possible. But you make it unstoppable. When you get in agreement and alignment with the promises of God, and you begin to believe it, and you begin to build your life towards it, you make the promises unstoppable. There was a whole generation of Israelites that had a promise, and they died in the wilderness. They had the same promise. Nothing changed about God. Nothing changed about his promise. They had the same promise. And they died in the wilderness, never moving into the abundance that God had for them. The promise makes it possible, but your response makes it unstoppable. Your response brings the promise of God into fulfillment on the earth. You know, if you have been around our community for any length of time, you know that, man, we're big on declarations. We say that declaration every Sunday, and it's not just something kind of cute or fun that we do to kind of get into the message. No, it's because I want you saying this declaration every day. We believe in the power of declaration. The Bible says the life and death, the power of life and death is in the tongue, right? It's what we speak over our lives. So we believe in the power of declaration. And we started our kids very early. They sang this morning declaration, and our girls have said for years, this declaration says, God, this is your day. I'm your girl. Let's go for it. I'm brave. I'm beautiful. I'm blessed. I'm strong. I'm fast. I'm built to last. I listen well. I work hard. I never give up. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mind to understand, my heart to receive everything that God has for me today. Now, we've been doing that declaration for a number of years. And a couple of years ago, I made each Carolina Lee and Julietta pick their own little statement that they were going to put at the end. And Carolina, you know, being the CEO of our family, she had no problem creating her own sentence that she was going to declare over her life. And Juju didn't really have one. So I don't know. And I had just listened to a talk by a guy by the name of Eric Thomas, and he had this little mantra: I can, I will, I must. I can, I will, I must. I can do it, I will do it, I must do it. And I said, Juju, this is what you're going to say. I can, I will, I must. So every day, man, in the car, Juju's been saying their declaration, God, it's your day. And when she gets to the end, man, she would scream to the top of her lungs. Maybe to annoy her sister, maybe to drive it home, I don't know. But she would scream with all her might, I can, I will, I must. We were doing a little workout about a month ago, and I could hear Judy. She was doing a plank on the living room floor, and I could hear her saying something, right? But I didn't know what it was, and so I just kind of walked over there real casually. And as she was doing that plank for 60 seconds, I'm hearing her under her breath saying, "I can, I will, I must. I can, I will, I must." See, what I'm trying to do is to get my kids in alignment with what's possible before they ever see the problem. Too many people aren't in alignment and agreement with what's possible before they see the problem. And if you're not in agreement and alignment with what's possible before you see the problem will be bigger than your promise. But there was Juju kneeling on the floor, I mean, on her elbows, and you know, her whole body is shaking. We're at the very end of her workout, and I can literally see her trembling, and she's saying, I can, I will, I must. I've got a problem right now, but I know that I can make it through. She had a prediction. I'm going to make it. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. She had a proclamation. There's no way my knees are going to hit this ground. There's no way I'm going to throw in the towel. Did she have a problem? Oh, yeah. Was it hurting? Oh, yeah. But she had this declaration that said, I can, I will, I must. I can, I will, I must. I can do all things through Christ. I will do all things through Christ. I must do all things through Christ. I can have this promised life. I will have this promised life. I must have this promised life. I can overflow. I will overflow. I must overflow in my life. The key to you moving in that life is, do you have the attitude to take the first step? It always starts with our attitude, and our attitude always starts with our belief. Hey, let me just give you this quick lead acrostic right now. We do this every Sunday here. We want to lead ourselves well in 2021. So we break that down. What are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then do it again. Our learn today is this, our takeaway. God has an abundant life for us, but we play a part in possessing that promise. He has it. It's available. He's given you access to it. But you have to respond, to put the effort forward, to move into what he has promised. The evaluation is this. Am I currently living with an I can or I can't attitude? Am I more focused on the problem? Or am I more focused on his promise? Am I focused on what he said, or am I focused on what I see right now? The application is this. I want you to declare, I can, I will, I must all week long. I can, I will, I must. I can do all things, I will do all things, I must do all things. I can live this life, I will live this life, I must live this life. And then just do it again. Just keep on doing it again and again and again. And you will find yourself like Caleb and Joshua, moving not into a promised land, but moving into a promised life.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.